The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good morning, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Boker Tov, Kath. Nice to have you back. I missed you yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? You just can't make it a habit.
I know. Otherwise, I start to have withdrawals here.
Yeah. Rolene, Palestinians are asking UNESCO to protect the Tomb of the Patriarchs versus Israel. What is this about?
Okay, remember we discussed on Friday that they filed a motion to have what they call the Ibrahimi Mosque, what we know as the Tomb of the Patriarchs or Ma'arat HaMachpelah, included in a list of heritage sites. And I think they know that this is not going to work because we share a common heritage
from
the site. So now what they are claiming...
Just hold on a second. Can I just ask you, do we actually share a common heritage?
Ibrahim, the father of the three Abrahamic religions.
Okay, but the thing is that Palestinians are not necessarily Muslim, which is an Abrahamic religion, and they're not necessarily Christian. I'm just saying, I just want to put it in context because within myself, I have a difficult time kind of separating the religious aspect of the Palestinians and their religious claims versus the cultural people as the Palestinians. Do you understand my question?
Well, I think that whether, you know, we want to call them Palestinian Arabs, they are historically Muslim. And unfortunately, the religious or cultural aspect has been very, very heavily politicized. And we have a case now where... I think that global agents have seen that, you know, this is actually starting to become a little bit dicey. We've heard Nikki Haley so many times at the United Nations. We even heard the former director of UNESCO saying that, you know, this is ludicrous to say that Jews do not have a claim. Yeah. So now what they are saying is that there is vandalism, there's property damage and other attacks by Israelis in what they call Al-Khalil, what we call Hebron, and they're saying that because of this, the Ibrahimi Mosque, which is what they call Ma'arat HaMachpelah, must be protected. So they're looking at a different tactic. It's a very, very dangerous tactic, and you can be sure that we'll be responding with very, very, very harsh language. In fact, our ambassador to UNESCO, Carmel Shammaha-Cohen, has actually addressed this, saying that this latest initiative is politically motivated, it is completely unfounded, and it is intended to embroil the World Heritage Committee in a highly sensitive issue, which is already starting to draw the attention of Israeli public opinion and Jewish organizations around the world. You know, part of what they've accused us of in the past is Judaizing this land, which we don't need to Judaize anything. We've got the antiquity that proves it time and time again. We've got it all proven in the Tanakh, in the Bible. I mean, just the other day, teenagers who were on Titora Hill here in Modi Inn were on an archaeological dig, and they found jewelry that's 900 years old, dating back to Jewish settlements of the time.
Oh,
yes, that lived in Modi Inn. So this is a very, very dangerous tactic, and Shammah Cohen has gone on to say that the inscription of the old city of Hebron as a Palestinian World Heritage Site in danger will create even more resentment and fierce reactions in Israel and throughout the Jewish world. And we are actually asking UNESCO to reject this latest attempt.
And do you think UNESCO will, considering that they ruled, Resolution 2334, that the Western Wall and the Western Wall Plaza is part of a Palestinian state?
Well, this is going to be interesting to see, because we have heard very, very harsh language from Nikki Haley at the UN Human Rights Commission. We've heard very, very harsh language from President Trump about how the United Nations and its various agencies are behaving. It's not just the UNHRC, but also UNESCO as well. So I think that with the outcry of all of this and the fallout because of supporting UN Resolution 2334, they might broach this a little bit more carefully, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, don't hold your breath, Ro. I mean, if you look at the holiest Jewish sites, you know, if you look at the Temple Mount, you look at the Cave of the Patriarchs, you look at the grave of Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph, Jews don't have free access to these places. I mean, if you go into Hebron, you have to go in with an army guard.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been into Hebron.
So who's the message
for?
Yeah.
In the heart of Wave of Terror, in fact, somebody was killed the day before I was there and the day after I was there. And I had to go in with some serious military guards. And it was very, very, very volatile. And just to reiterate to people who are listening, saying, you know, why bother with Hebron? Hebron is one of our holiest cities and we will not give it up.
Right.
But also, Jews only have access to 3% of the holy city of Hebron.
Yeah, our prophets, there's a lot of places that Jews don't have access to. Anyhow,
exactly.
let's move on, Rolene. Landmark ruling, LL Crew can no longer ask women to move seats because of the ultra-Orthodox.
Explain. Well, this is making huge headlines here today. In fact, it's the dominating story across many of the dailies, because this is becoming a common occurrence where women on LL flight have been asked to vacate their seat because ultra-Orthodox men do not want to sit next to them.
Mm-hmm.
So enter 81-year-old Holocaust survivor Renee Rabinowitz, who said that this is absolutely discriminatory, and she actually sued the airline for allowing this to happen. I mean, it's happened time and time again.
Why is it such an issue to move seats?
Because it contravenes modesty laws. I mean, I don't know what these guys
are expecting
that we're going to do on a flight.
Mm.
But
I understand why the rabbis wouldn't want to sit next to a woman who's not necessarily his wife, especially on a long flight. I get it. But why is it contravening? I mean, why is it an issue for people who, you know, don't mind sitting next to, you know, this woman? Why was it an issue for her to move seats?
Well, she didn't want to move seats. She was quite happy where she was. She felt that as an elderly woman, it was discriminatory,
mm-hmm.
and discriminatory based on her gender. And I myself have been asked to move out of a seat once or twice, to which I've said, you know, I'm quite happy. I quite like my window seat with and, you know, if you don't like sitting next to me, you move. Which the person subsequently did.
Okay.
And it's happened to many people I know, many women I know, where they're quite happily, you know, sitting on the flight, want to go, they have no intentions of interacting with their male neighbor at all. They're more than happy to go to sleep, and this happens time and time again. So this landmark ruling has been placed or put in place by the High Court, where LL Crew can no longer remove women from their seats because a man does not want to sit next to her. I think that the ruling says that if the man does not want to sit next to the woman, he can move.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Just what I was understanding about the story, it sounded like Elal was catering to the lowest common denominator, being that people who don't observe, do you know what I mean, who don't have the laws of modesty or whatever the case may be, cater for people who don't have that, and then everybody else will have to find their own plan. But that's clearly not the case. The man will have to move. Rolene, allegedly, or I don't even think it's allegedly, I think Islamic State, ISIS, have blown up a mosque where they declared a caliphate.
Another huge story making the news this morning. You know, this just shows you the depravity of this terror organization. They feel no compunction to blow up holy sites, their own as well. They've marched through the Middle East blowing up ancient sites that are as old as time, beautiful sites in Syria, in Iraq, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, blown up. And the Grand Al-Nuri Mosque of Mosul in Iraq, which is very, very famous for its leaning minaret, where they declared that they are going to embark on creating their own self-styled caliphate and rule over Syria, Iraq, and hopefully more of the Middle East and the rest of the world, they've blown it up.
Crazy. I was actually looking on, do you ever check Deutsche Welle? It's DW.com. They've got a very interesting article there on some of the artworks that have been destroyed and some of the statues that were destroyed by ISIS. And they've been restored by this French body that is involved with that and was sent back to Palmyra. And what's so interesting is that on all of these, it's got Hebrew writing. And I actually need to go into it more. It's so interesting that there's all this Hebrew writing.
I think we should go because this sounds fascinating.
Completely fascinating. I'll actually share I'll tweet the article, and I'll tweet it at you, and then you can also.
But you
take
know what,
look.
Kath? I mean, like, yeah. I'm listening to stories of the Islamic State, the barbaric way that they treat people, the way that they've singled out minority groups in the Middle East, Christians, Jews for elimination, the sacking of artwork, and I'm having flashbacks to the Nazis.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Rolene, Austria far-right Freedom Party vows to move the embassy to Jerusalem if elected.
Really? A cat with friends like these.
Really?
I'm like, okay, because the head of the far-right party was actually denied a visit to Israel by our late President Shimon Peres, who wanted nothing to do with this far-right.
Strangely
Austria.
Enough.
And they're like, no, we're going to improve ties with Israel. Going to move our embassy to Jerusalem. We think that Israel can build settlements wherever they want to. And we're thinking, oi, gewalt, with friends like these. You know, what is the motivation? Because your members are far right. The far right, not so much loving the Jews.
Do
you know that you're making these promises to a Jewish state?
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. And on that note, I'll also tweet this article at you. The Bundestag in Germany has deferred action over anti-Semitism prevention report. And we can maybe talk about that tomorrow. And see the relationship between Germany and Israel, provided there's no hard news that we need to report on. Rolene Marks.
I think that's a very good idea because we had an incident on yet another campus yesterday where a member of Knesset and a Holocaust survivor were attacked by BDS activists, and it doesn't help when the foreign minister is visiting with Beit Selem and breaking the silence.
Lovely. All right, Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it today. Thank you so much for your time. Always love speaking to you, and we'll catch you this afternoon after 5 o'clock.
And tomorrow morning.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ro. God bless.
Thanks, Kat.